Well, church, we know that our theme for this year is building on the vision. Building on the vision. Our theme is our blueprint for moving forward in dark and troubling times. We said that that word build means to frame. It means to construct or erect on a foundation. To build means to establish, increase, or strengthen. To build is to frame, to construct or erect on a foundation. It is to establish, increase, or strengthen. And we know that that word vision simply means divine communication that gives sight. It is divine communication that gives sight. Vision is the revealed will of God. Church, to build on the vision is to establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. When we build on the vision, we will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. What is God's will for us? What is our vision? We know that our vision is to be a church patterned after the church at Philippi, that we are to be a people who loves God, hates sin, and loves to give. We know that our theme scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And we know that in Philippians 3, Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi while he is in prison. And he is exhorting them to continue on in the things of God. And as he exhorts them, he reflects on his own life. And Paul admits that he had not yet accomplished all that he desired in his Christian walk, but that he was striving to lay hold of a spiritual prize because Jesus had first laid hold of him. And in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Church, we know that our theme scripture gives us both our attitude and our approach to this year's theme. We know that in these dark and troubling and uncertain times, we must build on a vision. We must conform our lives to God's will. That means that we must endeavor with all that is in us to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give. That means that we must forget those things that are behind us. Turn away from our former life, our former habits, our former pursuits. Turn away from our past failures, disappointments, and fears. Then we must reach for what is before us. That is, we must stretch toward the will of God. We must make every effort to learn what it means to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give. And church, we must press. We must press toward the mark. That is, we must have an urgency to obey. We must establish a relationship with the things that we learn. In other words, we must do the things that we are taught and do them immediately so that we can manifest the vision in a lost and dying world. In church, when we build on the vision, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. And he will strengthen, refresh, and revive our church. But to do all of this, we have to start first with understanding the significance of our vision. Church, we are in part 5 of our series, Our Vision. Our Vision. We know the intent of this series is that I want to teach us the significance of our vision. I want us to come away from this series knowing just how important our vision is. The purpose of this series is that we understand why we must build on the vision. We must understand why we must build on the vision. We know that we have 7 objectives in this series. I want to teach us our vision's origin and our vision's purpose. Then I want to teach us our vision's power and our vision's benefit. Then from there, we will learn our vision's relevance and our vision's adequacy. And in our 7th objective, we will learn our vision's effect. I want to teach us our vision's origin, its purpose, its power, its benefit, its relevance, its adequacy, and its effect. The goal of this series is that we commit to the work. What have we learned thus far in this series? In our first objective, we learned our vision's origin. Church, our vision comes from God. It is not a cute slogan. It is not a cute motto or saying. Our vision is divine communication, God's communicated will to us as a church. We learn that our vision is extracted from the Word of God and that it summarizes our doctrine in a way that we can easily understand and recall to mind. Our vision does not replace our doctrine, but it guides us or points us to our doctrine. Church, we learn that we must respect our vision. We must prize it and value it. Then we must regard our vision. We must give attention to it, strive to learn it. Then we must respond to our vision. That is, we must answer back with obedience. Obedience is the only acceptable response because obedience is how we're going to build our life. From there, we moved into our 2nd objective. We learned our vision's purpose. Our vision's purpose. Church, God communicates his will to us so that we might have sight. God communicates his will to us so that we might have sight. That is spiritual sight. So that we might understand how to live and how to have success. Church, if only we understood that God communicates his will to us because he loves us. If we understood that, we would have greater respect for God's word. If only we listen. That is, if only we gave ear to God when he spoke. If we only gave ear to his will and his instructions. If we just follow Jesus Christ, then God would give us all the directions and answers that we need for our lives. Church, if only we obeyed, if we love God, if we hate sin, and if we love to give, we would experience the blessings of righteousness, and it would be well with us and our children. From there, we move to our 3rd objective, our vision's power. Our vision's power. Church, we said that our vision has the power to restrain us. Our vision has the power to restrain us, and that's good. Our vision establishes what we can and cannot do. Our vision keeps our lives from spiraling out of control, spiritually, naturally, and financially. Our vision sets boundaries around our lives and confines us to a righteous course of life. But when divine communication is absent in our life, that is when we do not listen to God, then we become unrestrained and we are made ashamed. Church, our vision will free us from an unrestrained life, but we must be ready to hear the truth. We have to be ready to hear the truth. Because as we learn our vision, God's going to tell us what's really wrong in our lives. And when he does, we cannot be offended. We must be ready to hear the truth. And then we must be ready to set aside excuses. No more excuses in our life. Excuses waste time and leave us in an unchanged condition. Even though Jesus Christ has done everything necessary so that our lives can change, we must set aside excuses. And finally, we must be ready to endure instruction. We have to endure instruction. In other words, we must do what God instructs us to do no matter what. That took us to our fourth objective, the objective that we covered last week, our vision's benefit. Our vision's benefit. Church, our vision produces a blessed life. Our vision produces a blessed life. We have got to get that down on the inside, that if we love God, if we hate sin, and we love to give, if we do those three things, it will produce a blessed life. We define blessed this way. We said that blessed is to have God's approval rest upon our lives. When we are blessed, we have God's approval resting on our lives. We said that when we are blessed, we receive the favor of God. In other words, we receive the grace of God that we need to live a peaceful life. We receive the grace of God to live well and do good. Then we said that to be blessed is to do well. It is to flourish, to blossom, to be fruitful and successful. But see, we need to understand that it is to be fruitful and successful in godly endeavors. That's what it means to be blessed. We said that to be blessed is to experience gladness. Gladness down on the inside because of the well-being that we have. Finally, we said that to be blessed is to have internal peace and satisfaction. In other words, when we are blessed, we are at peace on the inside. We are fulfilled, not wanting anything, not needing anything. That's what it means to be blessed. And that's the life that we can have if we conform to our vision. If we love God, if we hate sin, if we love to give. But church, that means that we have to do some things. It means that we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you remember that? That is, we cannot live by the advice of those who are unsettled. We cannot live by the advice of those who do not follow rules. We cannot live by the advice of those who are governed by their passions. There are some people that we should not receive counsel from. Cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then we said we cannot stand in the way of the sinners. In other words, we cannot pattern our life after people who are openly living wrong. I cannot imitate a sinner's life and then ask God to bless me. Cannot stand in the way of sinners. And finally, we said that we cannot sit in the seat of the scorner. Remember what we said about the scorner, that the scorner is the worst kind of sinner, that a scorner mocks God. They defy what is sacred. They ridicule that which is holy. They dishonor and they blaspheme Jesus, and they draw people away from the faith. Church, we learned that we cannot fellowship with the scorner. Because for most of us, our faith is not strong enough to endure people mocking our faith. So we cannot sit in the seat of the scorner. Church, that brings us to our fifth objective, Today, we're going to learn our vision's relevance. Our vision's relevance. The subtitle for today's message is What I Need. What I Need. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 9. Church, we must understand, after all that we have learned up to this point, that our vision is significant because it is relevant to our lives. Our vision is significant because it is relevant to our lives. That word relevant means important. It is important. It means having a direct bearing on. Having a direct bearing on. Relevant means relating directly to. Relating directly to. So relevant is important. It is having a direct bearing on. It is relating directly to. Church, our vision is relevant. It is important to our life. Our vision has a direct bearing on the outcome of our life. It has a direct bearing. Our vision is directly related to our success and well-being. So if we conform to it, it brings success. It brings well-being. See, it is relevant to our lives. It has a direct bearing on the outcome of our life. How is my life going to turn out? What's going to happen at the end of my life? What are people going to say about my life? See, the vision has a direct bearing on that. And that is important for us to know, to understand, and to get down on the inside, because too many of us do not believe that our vision is relevant. See, we've heard this year's teaching thus far. And thus far, it is nothing more than a source of amusement. It is interesting to us. But deep down, we have this gnawing on the inside. We don't believe that the vision will have a direct bearing on our life. We don't believe that conforming to the vision will lead to our success and well-being. It's almost as if, well, this is what pastor's preaching this year, so I'm going to take my notes. Maybe I'll learn a little thing here or there. But I really don't believe that embracing and living by and conforming to the vision will have an effect on my life, that it will lead to success and well-being. So we hear love God. We hear hate sin. We hear love to give. But we are still looking for other answers to help us in our current condition. And some of us will go the entire year and hear the entire thing and have notes from almost every single lesson. And yet for the entire year, we will look for answers outside of the theme to address our current condition. We don't believe the vision is relevant. We're asking questions. How does this work? How is this going to help me deal with my children? How is this going to help me get out of this financial crisis that I'm in? What is this going to do to help me fix my messy marriage? How is it going to help me overcome my loneliness and depression? See, we are doubtful and suspicious. We're going along for the ride, but it's not relevant to us. But church, that's not surprising. Because our lack of confidence in the word is deep-seated. It's deep-seated. It didn't start with this year's thing. There is a problem in the church that is like an epidemic. It is our spiritual pandemic. The problem in the church is that we have treated God's word as irrelevant for a long time. And I'm not talking just about new Christians. I'm talking about old Christians. We don't believe that the word of God has a direct bearing on the outcome of our life. We don't believe that the word of God directly relates to our success. Because after we hear it, we routinely set it aside, and then we look to other answers for guidance. We hear the word, but we don't do anything with it. See, we are entertained by the word. It is entertainment to us. It is our burst of inspiration for the week. Gotta get my word. But I don't view it as the answer to anything. Because as soon as God is done speaking, I go and start searching. Soon as I walk out the door, soon as I turn off the live stream, I begin to search. I am searching for answers to my life's condition. Searching and researching. That's what we do. We have become the research generation. We don't believe God's word speaks to our situation, so we research for meaning in other places. See, we are researching and searching for meaning in our phone. We are searching and researching for meaning to come in our social media. We are searching and researching for guidance on YouTube. Somebody tell me something about my life. Somebody give me some guidance for my life. Somebody give me some answers that I need. We are searching and researching after we have heard the word of God. Searching and researching after God spoke to us. Searching and researching even after we sit and we hear something and we know that it applies to us. We put it on the shelf because we have determined that it is not relevant to our life. There is something more out there, something more that I need, something extra, something that is missing in my faith. So we are searching and researching, but we have researched our way into self-defeat. That's what we have done. We are a generation of people who look online to determine who we are. And whatever it says we are, that's who we are. If it says we are defective, we are defective. If it says that we can't, we can't. We have researched our way into self-defeat. We have searched and researched our way into greater fear and anxiety. We can take our life situation and put a label on it, and it creates fear and anxiety on the inside of us because of something that we read somewhere, something that somebody forwarded to us, something that somebody tweeted or posted. We are searching and researching our way into greater fear and anxiety. We are searching and researching our way right into rejecting the Christian faith. Why? Because of what we taught last week. We are sitting in the seat of the scorner. People telling us why our faith is not real, is not adequate, telling us why our faith is not the only way. And we are searching and researching our way right into rejecting Jesus Christ. Church, we don't realize that technology has literally hooked us. It has hooked us. Why am I preaching so much about technology? Because it has hooked us. And it is leading us by the nose. Have you ever noticed that when you get online, when you turn your computer on, that there's an advertisement that pops up, takes you to something that you looked at before, says, here, look at this. I know you like that. Let me show you some other things. Have you ever noticed that when you go to your YouTube page, it says, here are some recommended videos for you. See, it has hooked us. Our lust and our desires are being tracked so that when we come back, it gives us more and more and more of what we want. And we are going further and further and further away from our faith. We are sitting in church, but our heart and our mind is wrapped up in things that cannot help us. Searching and researching. So much so that we are addicted. We are addicted. We are addicted to the search, but we have an aversion to meaningful work. Let me say that again. We are addicted to the search, but we have an aversion to meaningful work. In other words, we are thrilled by the search. But the minute that that new thing that we found gets old or challenging for us, we're off to a new search. Addicted to the search, but averse to meaningful work. So we just keep pointing and clicking. Day after day, month after month, year after year, pointing and clicking, and our life is not getting better. We have more information than the local library, and yet we have accomplished nothing. We are more messed up than ever before because we are the research generation. We have turned away from our faith, from the truth that is relevant to our lives, that which is important, that which has a direct bearing on whether we succeed or whether we fail. Church, I'm trying to help us see that our actions do not line up with our profession. Because we say that we regard God's word, but his word too often has no place in our life. His word is crowded out. There's no time for it. There's no place for it. It is crowded out by everything else that we're looking at and listening to and depending on. It is crowded out because we just don't believe that it bears on the issues of our life. Yet the vision is exactly what I need to make it in this life. You want comfort? Learn to love God. Hate sin. Love to give. You want to be strengthened? Learn to love God. Hate sin. Love to give. If you want to be fulfilled, learn to love God, hate sin, and love to give. If you want to be productive and use your gifts, talents, and abilities to the best of your ability, learn to love God, hate sin, love to give. If you need deliverance or wisdom, learn to love God, hate sin, and love to give. Our vision is exactly what we need to make it in this life. Church, God's word is not outdated. God's word is not unrelated to our life or our problems. It is important. It is relevant. And it has a direct bearing on our success. It is what we need. Stop searching for other answers and start applying God's word to your life. How are we going to do that, Pastor? Well, that brings us to our points for today. But before we get into our points, let's look at Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to read one verse of scripture. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. It says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. I love that scripture. It is so simple and yet so profound. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Church, to build on the vision, we must, point number one, trust God. We must trust God. What does trusting God have to do with this scripture? Well, if we're going to do what this scripture says, forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding, we have to trust God. We have to trust God because doing what this scripture says requires that we change, requires that we give up those things that we have been holding on to as important. That means that we have to trust God. We have to set aside our pride, set aside our self-will, set aside our self-dependence, and trust God. We must get out of our own way and make a decision to trust God. God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. Have to get out of my own way to do that. We are so much in our own way, so full of self-will. But I have to set all of that aside so that I can do what God is telling me to do. See, I must be confident that God sees, that He knows, and that He cares. I have to be confident of that. I have to be confident that God sees the root causes of all of my problems and my struggles. I have to be confident that He sees the causes of my problems better than I can see them. I have to be confident that God sees the adversity in my life that is to come. Adversity that I don't even know about. I must be confident that God knows what I need to be lifted up out of the lowly places of my life. I have to believe that. Church, we must trust God. That means that each of us must settle it in our heart and in our mind that what God is speaking to us right now as a church is exactly what I need in this season of my life. Not that it's going to be good for Sister Sally, not that it's going to be good for my children, not that it's going to be good for my grandchildren, but that it is what I need in this season of my life. I must settle it on the inside that the vision is my way forward in dark and perilous times. You gotta trust God. Trust that He knows what He's doing, knows what He's telling us, knows what He is saying. Well, Pastor, it's just hard. It's difficult. It's complicated. No, it's not. It's not hard. If you believe in God, it's not hard to trust Him. If you believe in God, it's not hard to trust Him. See, God is our creator. The Bible says that He knows our down sitting and our uprising, that He understands our thoughts afar off, that He is acquainted with all of our ways. If that is who God is, how could He be out of touch with my struggles? If that's who God is, how could He be out of touch with what I need? If that's who God is, how could He be out of touch with the things that I lack, with my weaknesses? If He created me and He knows me and He is intimately acquainted with me, how can He not know exactly what I need? See, if I know God, it's not hard to trust Him. If I believe that God is who He says He is, it's not hard to trust Him. God is omniscient. That is, He knows all things. So if I believe that, how is it that God could not have the answer to my problems? How is it possible that God would not have the solution to my issues? See, God is omnipresent. And what that means is that He is in our tomorrow today. And if I know that, and if I believe that, how then could He possibly give me the wrong directions? How could He possibly guide me to the wrong destination if He's already in my tomorrow today? See, if I believe in God, it's not hard to trust Him. But we don't want to trust God. And we don't want to trust Him because we don't want to submit to His instructions. That's really the problem. We want to be our own savior and our own hero. We want God to help us out as we call upon him. But we want to do it our way. We don't want God telling us what to do. And we don't want God telling us that we need to change. We want solutions without sacrifice. So we keep searching and researching. But God has just what we need: divine communication that will give us sight. Church, to build on the vision, we must trust God. To build on the vision, we must, point number two, quit foolishness. We must trust God, and then we must quit foolishness. The scripture says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Now, when you interpret this scripture, when you break this scripture down to its original meaning, it means this: give up being in the category of fools. That's what it's saying. Give up being in the category of fools, so that you might be revived, refreshed, and made to prosper. Give up being in the category of fools, so that you might be revived, refreshed, and made to prosper. It means quit being among the foolish. Stop being among them. Loosen your bands from the foolish and live well. Loosen your bands from the foolish and live well. That's what this scripture is saying. Well, okay, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but what makes a man foolish? Well, Jesus said, if we hear his teachings and don't do them, we are like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. If we hear Jesus but don't do his teachings, we are like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And then Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 3. He says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. That the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. So when you put it all together, this is what a foolish man is. A foolish man is one who turns from the counsel of God and turns to the wisdom of the world. A foolish man is one who turns from the counsel of God and turns to the wisdom of the world. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how skilled you are in technology. If I am turning from the counsel of God and turning to the wisdom of the world, the Bible says that makes me a foolish man. Church, we have to quit foolishness. Quit being among the foolish. That's what the world does. The world has turned from the counsel of God and turned towards the wisdom of the world. But I have to quit that. I have to quit it and walk away. That means we need to walk away from foolish words, walk away from foolish conversations, walk away from foolish debates, walk away from foolish advice, theories, speculations, and sayings. See, all of us are swamped in all of that. Every day we wake up to foolishness. Gotta quit it. Walk away from it. Loosen the bands. We have to stop doing what the world is doing and go in the other way so that we might prosper. While the world has turned its back on the counsel of God and views the counsel of God as outdated, irrelevant, we must determine to go the other way. We must choose the wisdom of God over the wisdom of the world. That's what we have to do. We have to choose that which is proven over that which is ever changing. We have to choose to quit foolishness. We have to put down foolishness and pick up our doctrine. Church, if we could just do that, our life would change. If we could just put down all of this stuff that we are caught up in, tangled up in, wasting hours of our day in, if we could just put that stuff down, pick up our doctrine, hide the word in our heart, let the word order our steps, conform our life to the vision. If we could just do that, we would have success. And the things that we were struggling with, God would deliver us from. But we just won't do it because we're addicted to searching and researching. And when we open up our Bible, I'm too tired. I'm falling asleep. Well, I can't understand this. Well, I read for a few minutes and I give up. And we spend hours and hours and hours and hours looking at worthless things, things that cannot help us. We got to choose. Church, it has to be a daily choice because of all the things that we are bombarded with. It has to be a daily choice. Sometimes it has to be an hourly choice. But we have to understand that it is the right choice. Church, to build on the vision, we must trust God. We must quit foolishness. And we must, point number three, get focused. We have to trust God, quit foolishness, and get focused. Proverbs 9:6 says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Give up being in the category of fools so that you might be revived, refreshed, and made to prosper. Quit being among the foolish. Loosen your bands from the foolish and live well. Go straight on. That's what that word go means. It means go straight on. Follow the course of life that leads to insight and understanding. That course of life will cause you to know what is good. Church, we have to trust God. We have to quit foolishness, but then we must get focused. We have to follow the course of life that will lead to insight and understanding, but we must go straight on. Straight on. That means I can't turn to the right or to the left. I can't turn to the right or to the left. I have to go straight on. I have to get focused and stay focused. And what does that mean, church? It means that we must set aside distractions. Set them aside. Our life is too valuable to be caught up and hindered by all of these distractions. Set them aside. Get rid of them. We have wasted enough time in our life with irrelevant things. We have wasted enough time setting aside the word of God that gives us the answer to our life, chasing after empty and frivolous and meaningless things. We have wasted enough time. It is time to set aside distractions. We have wasted enough time with our Facebook friends. What are they doing for your life? We have wasted enough time with our group texts and our group chats. What is it doing for your life? We have wasted enough time Google searching things that mean nothing to us. What is it doing for your life? We have wasted enough time pointing and clicking. We must get focused. Get focused. Because we will never get anywhere in this life if we continue to be distracted by empty, meaningless things. We will never get anywhere. Every time we are drawn off course, we start all over. God has to deal with the same issues in us time and time again. He's got to clean us up in our heart. He's got to fix our mind. We are just starting over time and time again. We are pointing and clicking, and we are running out of time. We are running out of time with our life because we cannot point and click forever. Got to get focused. Focused on the thing that will help us. That is our vision. We must go straight on. Straight on, church. Straight on to the one who went straight on for us. Straight on to the one who went straight on for us. That is Jesus Christ. He went straight on for us, not turning to the right or to the left. He went straight on all the way to the cross for us, not turning to the right or to the left. And he did what the Father asked him to do until it was finished, until my sins were paid for, till I could be washed from my sins, filled with his Spirit, strengthened and revived in my life. So if Jesus went straight on for me and then gave me the ability to have a good and a prosperous life, now I have to get focused and do my part. Now it's time for me to go straight on and take the blessed life that he has given me and live it to the fullest of my ability by conforming to our doctrine. Conforming to the vision. Have to get focused. Got to trust God. Quit foolishness and get focused. Church, we must build on the vision. Our vision is divine communication that gives sight. It comes from God. It is extracted from the Word of God, and it reveals his will to us. Our vision guides us to our doctrine and gives us spiritual sight for our success. Church, our vision is able to restrain us, but we must be ready to hear the truth, set aside excuses, and endure instruction. Our vision is able to bless us if we conform to it. So that means we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly, can't stand in the way of sinners, cannot sit in the seat of the scorner. And church, our vision is directly related to our success. The outcome of our life is tied to the vision. The outcome of our life is dependent on whether we will love God, hate sin, and love to give. So we must stop looking for other answers. Start applying the Word of God. That means we must trust God. It means that we must quit foolishness. We must get focused. Church, build on the vision. Love God, hate sin, and love to give. And if you do, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen your life. And if you do, he will strengthen, revive, and refresh our church. Amen.